Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Episode 47. Today we're reading Chapter 47 of the novel and family drama Just Won't Stop by Daniel White III with Marika White. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Psalm 139:14-16. Monica and Jonathan had a great time together. He had her back at the church by 2:44. Her father was very pleased. She spent the rest of the afternoon in his office telling him all that took place. As soon as she got home, she checked her email to see whether or not Stacy had contacted her. She did. The message read, "Went to the clinic today." Monica's heart dropped. She hoped and prayed that Stacy had not gone through with the abortion. Stacy was up all night after speaking with Monica. She was thinking about the conversation they both had had. She felt kind of bad about not telling Monica she had an appointment the next day at the clinic. She called Robert, who agreed to meet her at the entrance to the library at 10:15 after her first class. He was a little late, but that just gave her more time to rehearse how she would break the news to him. "Hey, babe," he said, giving her a kiss on the cheek. "We have to talk," Stacy said, "and let me say all I have to say before you interrupt." She pointed to a bench away from the front door. She took a deep breath as they sat down. "Robert, I'm pregnant, about 2 months, and you're the father." She raised her hands to silence him. "Think back to Valentine's Day and all we did before you protest. And for the record, you are the first and only person I've had sex with, so it will be easier on both of us if you just accept it. You can talk now." Stacy looked off into the parking lot. Robert kept shaking his head from side to side. He punched his fist into his book bag a couple times before saying anything. "Oh, man, are you sure?" "Yes, positive. I did the home test twice, and both times it was positive." "What am I going to do? Are you absolutely sure?" "What am I going to do?" Stacy asked. "How about what are we going to do? I have a 2 o'clock appointment today at the clinic." "Now you're talking. You did the right thing by going to the clinic. They can abort it before you know it, and we can go on with our lives. Frankly, I can't afford a baby right now, not with going to school and all that." "Just tell them it was a mistake. None of our parents will have to know anything. I just need you to take me down there." Stacy could not believe he was saying what he was saying. "I can do that, but I cannot stay. I can come back and pick you up, though." Promptly at 2, Robert dropped her off at the clinic. She was greeted by a Miss Jackson, who, after filling out the necessary paperwork, led her to a waiting room. Only one other girl was there, a young girl about 15, maybe 16 years of age. Stacy could see the fear in her eyes. On the wall were pictures with the different stages of pregnancy. Stacy studied each picture from her seat, too scared to get up. She could not believe how real, how human-like each picture of the developing baby was. She thumbed through Christianity Today magazine that gave testimonials of young ladies of different ages who had had an abortion. Each said the same thing. They regretted the abortion and wished they could go back and undo it. She was escorted to another room where she and the other girl viewed 2 films. The first, an abortion film, was cut and dry. The second film was put together by a Christian organization. It showed the live baby in the mother's womb as it developed. Stacy saw the lungs, the heart, the brain, the bones, the tiny fingers and toes. She heard the heart beating, saw the eyes blink, and actually saw the unborn baby place its thumb in its mouth. She saw one leg kick out in a reflex action. The film ended with the actual birth of the baby. She saw adorable. Stacy whispered as the tears swelled up in her eyes. She looked over at the other girl. Their eyes met in a knowing way. The other girl quickly looked away. Stacy sat in a daze. It was as though she was glued to the seat. She could not go through with it. She actually saw a real live unborn baby, and she was more convinced than ever that she was carrying a live human being. What would she tell Robert? He was expecting her to go through with it. The other girl walked out the room abruptly, slamming the door as she left. Miss Jackson walked in silently and turned off the film. She noticed the tears that were now flowing down Stacy's cheek. She put an arm around her shoulders and rocked her back and forth to comfort her. "I'll pray with you, Stacy. God will bring you through this." By the end of the prayer, Stacy was sobbing uncontrollably. She was glad Miss Jackson was there. That was all she needed right then, a hug. Between tears, she managed to tell Miss Jackson all that was on her heart, including what had happened between her and her father. "I'm a Christian. How did I let this happen?" "Even Christians do wrong every now and then. But praise God, He's a forgiving God." "Have you spoken to God about it?" Stacy shook her head no. "Why don't you confess it all to Him right now? Tell Him you're sorry for the way you have been treating your dad. Tell Him you're sorry for disrespecting and being rude towards your dad. Tell Him you did wrong by having sex outside of marriage. Then ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to help you make things right with your parents. Ask Him to bring you through this pregnancy and to bless you with a healthy baby. God understands. He just wants you to tell it all to Him." Stacy prayed as best she could and let it all out to God. She began to feel God's presence in her life once again. She had, in just a few short months, put Him on the back shelf. She sat there for a few minutes wondering how she would tell Robert about her decision. Miss Jackson gave her a small testament with the Psalms and Proverbs. She randomly opened it and started reading in Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." She felt much better as she got her phone out to call Robert. She told him of her decision as they drove to the campus. Stacy braced herself as he swerved sharply to the right. "Are you trying to get us all killed? You said you were going to get the abortion." "No, I did not say that. You told me to get it. I did not answer you." Stacy was not in the mood for any arguing. "Right now, I want you to drop me off at my room. I'm tired and I would like to get some rest. I still have some more studying to do. And just for the record, we both say we are Christians. We should have never done what we did in the first place. We can't make it right by trying to cover it up now by murdering the baby. You can deny it all you want, but I am not. I am pregnant and you are the father." "How do I know for sure that I'm the father?" Robert muttered. "Listen, I don't have time to argue with you. I have turned my back on God these past few months, and it's obvious that you have too. God spoke to me at the clinic, and I can't continue in the way that I was going. It's making me miserable. I want my Christianity to go back to being real. And if you're honest, you'll tell God that you sinned as well and you want to make it right. That is, if you want to make it right." "Girl, I don't need you preaching at me," Robert said as he pulled in front of the dormitory. "You can call me if you want to," Stacy said as she reached for the lock. "Don't feel like you have to, though. My mind is made up and you can walk with me or away from me. Either way, it doesn't matter. Bye." Robert grabbed her arm as she pushed the door open. "Please reconsider. It's not too late." Stacy sighed but said nothing. Once in her room, she stretched out across her bed with phone in hand, preparing to call Monica. "Thank you, Jesus," she sighed. She thought back to the film she saw and rehearsed the conversation with Miss Jackson. She fell off to a much-needed, peaceful sleep. Thank you for Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, may God bless you.